Eduardo Perez.
Breaking news last night. Juan Soto, a New York Met. 15 years, $765 million. There's opportunity to actually make more on that contract. He has an opt-out after 5 years. But at the end of the day, he went to the highest bidder.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox were in the mix, kind of, sort of. Keith?
Sure they were.
Right around?
Oh, so close. $700 right there.
$700 million, according to Sean McAdam. We'll give you our thoughts on it. We're going to check in with Rob Bradford live from the winter meetings. That comes your way at 12:30. So mark that down. We'll get his thoughts on how close the Red Sox were, how real the offer was, how much credit do we give him, what's next for the Red Sox. We'll get those answers out of Bradfo again coming up before the hour's out. You don't want to give him much credit for being in the mix, correct?
No, and I think it's you got to look at the track record. If this was the first time that they were really in on somebody and then didn't get him, you'd be like, ah, that's a ton of money. They gave it a go, didn't get him. Like, there was the heyday with the Red Sox and the Yankees competing against each other for guys, and, you know, they didn't get Mark Teixeira, but it felt like they were close, and it felt like, you know, that, remember that was one of the first times where it was like, well, his wife likes New York shopping. You're like, ah, whatever, you can't win them all. And like, people were pissed, but they were in it. You felt like it was a legitimate offer, and they almost got him. And then you go out and you get other guys. And then, like, more offseason good. Next thing you know, you're getting Adrian Gonzalez, you're getting Carl Crawford, you're getting Hanley Ramirez, you're getting all these guys.
So there's that. It's like, the Red Sox have bid on guys and not landed them. There's also the other side of the coin where the Dodgers. All right, the Dodgers were in on Juan Soto.
Yep.
But they get some benefit of the doubt because
they get everybody else.
They get everybody. They've won. Like, if I were a Dodgers fan, would I want Juan Soto? Sure. But I would understand. I'd say, oh, they got Blake Snell.
Yeah.
They've acquired Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani and all these. Okay, fine. The Red Sox are neither of those two things.
Yeah. No, they're not. And I also go back to, and maybe I need to move on, but I have a hard time with it, Mookie Betts. You didn't read the room as it relates to the future of the sport, because Mookie Betts signed for $365 million. And 3 years later, you're willing to give Juan Soto $700? Like, if those rumors are true, or reports are true, that they offered $700 million.
Around.
Your own guy, who you know worked here, you wouldn't give him half of that?
Nope.
So, inflation, blah, blah, blah. Okay, contracts go up, but that's sort of the nature of it.
Right. I mean, that was why contracts go up. That's why you should have paid Mookie Betts, because contracts go up and it now looks like a deal.
Right, because you thought maybe they learned their lesson. Like, they lowball John Lester, and then they overpaid David Price. They way overpaid David Price, and they ended up winning a World Series and whatever, and you can look at that the way you want to look at it. But the reports back then were, I think the Cardinals offered something like 160, and then they were like 217. Like, they were like, we're getting the guy, and they got the guy.
They blew it out of the water.
It's been way too long since then. Really, since Dave Dombrowski left, we've heard way more about players they were close to getting than players they have gotten.
I think you have the last guy they outbid people for. Like,
Trevor Story.
No.
It was hurt.
They got Trevor Story in like March. That wasn't really outbidding everyone.
It was
like
the last week of March.
Thank you. Getting Juan Soto means you are really outbidding people for a hot commodity at the winter meetings. Doing that with David Price, I think that's the last hotly contested player they went out and really got. People had doubts about Trevor Story. You know, maybe you could give him JD Martinez in there as well. That was another late signing. He might have been more highly sought after. You know, Trevor Story was an afterthought in free agency.
That's one of the bigger contracts they've signed.
Yeah. Over the last few years. So I give him credit for that. The last time you really, truly outbid people for a hot commodity, I think, was David Price. That's a long time. So
it's Dombrowski.
I give them no credit, none, for being in the mix for Juan Soto. We've been mocking the industry source who told Chris Cotillo they get an A-plus for effort in their pursuit.
No.
I gave him a D-minus, which is probably too high of a grade. Because at least they were in it this time. At least they went through multiple offers and took meetings with the guy, which they didn't even bother to do with Shohei Ohtani.
D-minus.
So I'm willing to give them slightly more credit than the way they handled it with Ohtani. But you could throw in my face, at least with Ohtani, they were honest. They were never in, and they were honest. They didn't even pretend like they were in.
And we didn't get our hopes up. We never thought for a second that, as a Red Sox fan, we were going to get Shohei Ohtani. We should have. Like, that's the guy. If you're going
to
spend $700 million on one of those guys, put him side by side. Give me the guy who's the better hitter and pitches. I'll take that guy
$700
million.
You'd be shocked. Well, I guess you wouldn't be. But, you know, people who maybe didn't work in sports talk radio and talk to Red Sox fans every day would be shocked at how many people were like, oh, you can't. He's not even pitching this year. How can you give him $700 million?
He's a 50-50 guy, and he's going to pitch this year. So, I would have taken Shohei Ohtani.
So, but you can throw him. I want to give him more credit for at least going through the dog and pony show
this
year.
Man. I think
because you should always be in. But at least they were honest a year ago with Ohtani. Sure. They were never interested, and they weren't even pretending to be interested.
But I also kind of feel like after the Betts and even Bogaerts debacle, they were sort of forced to, against their own will, sign Devers. And then I feel like after missing out on all these guys, they probably felt like they were forced to pretend they were in on Soto.
Yeah.
I think they were like, all right, we basically sat on our hands during free agency a year ago.
Fine. Maybe they were bullied into it, and they're like, maybe it's the Theo difference. Theo's just like, look, you got to at least pretend. You can't be that honest with the fan base that you don't even care about.
Do they get more goodwill from the fan base for being, let's call it, third in the Juan Soto sweepstakes than they would have if they weren't involved at all?
I would say no in a vacuum. There is a way where they can, though. And for me, I'll still give them this out. Right now, you should be pissed they didn't get Juan Soto, and you should be upset and feel misled and all these other things. Although at the end of the day, none of us really expected them to land him.
No, we did not.
But even me, I gave him more of a chance of landing him, but I never said the Red Sox were going to land him over the Mets. I always thought the Mets was the destination. So the one way I'll retroactively give them a little bit of credit for Juan Soto, or at least their approach this offseason, is if they land Burns and Bregman, or Fried and Bregman, or Sasaki and Alonso, or something like that. I'll look at it and say, all right, maybe they were more in on Juan Soto. They weren't the best offer. They weren't even the runner-up offer. But they were willing to spend. They proved to you they have $700 million to spend, right around $700 million to spend this offseason. They're telling you that with the leaked offer to Sean McAdam. That's what they have. That's their budget. They can spend that. They may not want to on every player, but they can. So you need to go out and spend. And I'll feel better about their pursuit of Juan Soto if they land a big arm and a big bat in free agency. I'm not talking trades, because that's different. That's less money, and you're giving up prospects that you wouldn't otherwise give up. Not that I care about prospects.
Yeah.
But it's just different in how you're paying for them than pure dollars and cents in free agency. So there is still a way to get it done, but I'm not going to give them credit for signing Corbin Burns until they sign him. I'm not going to give them credit for landing Bregman, no matter how much they're linked to him, until they sign him. So, yeah, no, the whole thing felt like a ruse. And credit to you, Keith. You gave it almost no credit that it was real. Yeah.
One day, I think I was high on drugs and alcohol, and I had them at 1%.
You had a moment of weakness and went to 1%.
Next day.
Yes.
Maybe it was the Gregnog. And then the next day, I went back down to 0%. I was looking this up, too. There are currently 36 players in baseball that their deal is worth $150 million or more.
36
total. So whatever they signed, it could be 6 years, it could be 7 or 15 years. Anyway, but like the total that you see that splashes across, 150 guaranteed. There's 36 of those players. How many do the Red Sox have?
150 million?
Yeah.
I think it's zero.
One.
Is it?
Devers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Counting re-signs. I'm saying anybody's contract.
Right. I was thinking free agents.
So
yeah.
Just
because Devers. Story's under 150.
Story is
definitely under.
Oh yeah. Story is like 140. So it's close, but still, there's 36 guys that have this value. And if you look at the Dodgers, Ohtani, Betts, Yamamoto, Freddie Freeman, Blake Snell. I mean, it's their squad. And then Will Smith actually has the same contract, it looks like, as Story. But teams are doing it. That's where you should be too, right? Like, because there's what, 30 teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
There's a handful of them that just straight up won't be in that conversation. They're not gonna sign a guy to that. So it really should be monopolized by Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Red Sox. Even if you're fourth or fifth, right? There were many years where the Red Sox didn't have the number one payroll, but they were certainly knocking on the door. They were, and you didn't feel like they were ever cheaping out. You're like, they're spending on a good roster. You love the roster that they have. That hasn't been the case for multiple years now.
No. And, you know, can they go back to even being a top 10 payroll, a top 5 payroll? Like, those days might be gone. But there's no excuse to not land Burns or Fried or Sasaki. There's none. They might not do it.
But here's
there's
the other
no
thing.
Excuse.
Here's the other thing.
The Yankees right now also didn't get the best offer for Juan Soto. Okay? They also lost out on Juan Soto. They don't really spend on a lot of free agents. They paid Judge. You paid Devers.
Garrett Cole,
but how long ago was that?
Oh, yeah, a couple years ago. But it was a lot of money.
So they have not been spending like they used to under Hal Steinbrenner is the point.
So who feels more motivated after losing Soto? The team that had Soto and finished second? So
no,
that's what I think.
No, it's the Yankees. Yeah. But I'm just saying, I think it's relatively level playing field, you and the Yankees these days. So you should outbid the Yankees for whichever guy you want, Burns or Fried. And my fear is they're going to do the we'll take the leftover guy.
Yeah.
If they even do that.
Yeah.
And so that's nitpicking by me because I want them to spend, but they should now go get the guy they want. You had $700 million to spend this offseason.
Yeah.
And you can't tuck your tail and patch it together with a bunch of Aroldis Chapman, Santander. You don't like Teoscar Hernandez.
So a texter's asking me about that. So Teoscar Hernandez, I'm not saying is a bad player. It just feels like such a letdown because it was a guy that you reportedly wanted a year ago, didn't spend enough, watched him have a good season, and then you get him now. Now, he's definitely...
Teoscar Hernandez is never what we were talking about with impact free agents. No. He's a nice player.
Like, he is...
That's never the discussion we've had with landing big-ticket players in this
season. Doesn't he feel sort of just like a souped-up Tyler O'Neill, yeah. Adam Duvall, yeah. Hunter Renfrow? Like, he's better than those guys, but...
But he's closer to those guys than Juan Soto, yeah, or he's closer to yeah. those guys than even, you know, some of the big-ticket free agents out there.
I would almost be more like, give me Roman Anthony every day than I would that. I think he helps you immediately a little bit more... But I'm almost of the mind that, like, let's see some of these young guys. Like, let those guys play if it's Teoscar Hernandez.
617-779-7937. We'll talk to Rob Bradford coming up from the winter meetings here in about 15 minutes. We'll get to your phone calls in the meantime. I just want to reiterate the Chris Cotillo report at Mass Live.
Yeah.
An industry source described Boston's effort on the pursuit of Soto to this point, which is before he landed with the Mets. This was late last night. As a quote-unquote A-plus effort.
Going to have to revise that grade. After you didn't get him, then nobody really, really,
that's
truly,
true.
Deeply
before,
down thought that you were going to get him.
This is before he signed, but yeah. It's an A-plus effort.
They gave it a go.
Like, we should be happy that they were in the mix. I gave him a D-minus
I just
being
feel
in
like
the mix,
if you play it out...
And that might have been charitable.
And if this continues, which it has for a number of years, if they have the third best offer for Corbin Burnes and the third best offer for Alex Bregman and the third best offer for Max Fried... Not going to give him an A-plus for effort.
No, me either. So, again, that to me is the story now. All right, you didn't land Soto. Yeah. We all kind of at the end of the day expected the Mets were going to be the team. That doesn't mean you couldn't have been the team or shouldn't have been the team, but we all kind of expected the Mets at the end of the day. So this is kind of what we expected. You're every right to be mad about
mm-hmm.
it. People are going to go nuclear if they don't land one of these big arms. And I'm not talking trade. And you'll have every right to rip them because you know they're willing to spend the money, or at least they're pretending they're willing to spend the money. So they better spend it. Darren is in Belmont. Go ahead, Darren.
Quick thing on Bill Belichick, and then I want to get into the Red Sox. You know, I figured out why Bill wants to go to UNC, because his girlfriend has one more year of eligibility yep. for cheerleading.
Yep. There it is. Yep.
So he could figure he could coach. Okay, you didn't like that.
No. We liked it. We did it Friday, but no, I got it. It's good.
No, we specifically didn't do that on Friday.
Yeah, it's a little beneath us.
No, we had heard she wanted in-state tuition is what we had heard. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's even better. I don't think the Red Sox ever – I don't think the Red Sox were ever in it. Even though they offered $700 million, they knew Cohen was going to go up to $750, $760. They knew it. So why play the game when you knew you wanted to get him? And I give him an F. I don't care what their effort is. They knew they weren't going to have to pay the money to them. And I don't believe – any belief that they'll go out to get the top arms. I just don't believe it. I just don't have any faith in Henry or Warner or anybody in that organization. They talk to talk, but they never really sign him in the bottom line.
Okay, look, that's fine. You don't have to have any faith in it. I'm just telling you they have the means to do it, and they're letting you know they have the means to do it. So they should do it. If they don't, they deserve to be ripped 100%.
Do you think the Mets...
And I get not believing them in the meantime.
Oh, yeah, I don't believe them either. Yeah. But I'll be happy to change my tune. If all of a sudden they come back with three guys that are all a big addition and they're spending a lot of money, then, like, great. Maybe it is a change. Are the Mets eliminated from any more big signings, or are they still a player?
It's a good question. Nick,
I don't know the answer.
Nick was looking at their payroll earlier. I mean, they just invested a ton in Soto, but they don't have much invested elsewhere outside of Lindor.
No. So we'll ask Bradford coming up a little bit, because if you're just looking around, the Dodgers seem to get whoever they want. They already got Blake Snell. There's rumors that Sasaki's just going to sign with them. But the Yankees would be the one. Like, this is a classic throwback where it seems like those are the two teams right now that have to be the most desperate in free agency. And so whether that's, I know we keep saying Burns, but like those handful of top few remaining free agents, I feel like it's going to come down to those two. Now, maybe there's always, you know, the San Francisco Giants all of a sudden pull together a bunch of money and they're, you know what I mean? Like there are surprise teams sometimes. Who?
Say it again.
The Giants have already spent a bunch
of money. Yeah, they spent on Adamas. Who else?
Oh, right. They got Willie Adamas. Yeah. So they already took one guy away. But I don't know. Would either the Chicago teams pay? Was it the Angels got Kikuchi?
The Angels got some guys too. They spent a lot of money too.
Yeah. So I mean, remember the year the Rangers got Marcus Simeon and who was the
Seager.
Other guy? And yeah, and Seager.
Corey Seager.
And they spent a ton of money on those guys. So there could always be a team that we're not even thinking of that comes in and takes guys away too.
So Rob Bradford, and there's something interesting I didn't pick up on the first time I read this. He says the Red Sox will turn to using some of their resources not spent on Soto, some of them, to make plays for other high-priced free agents, such as pitchers Max Fried and Corbin Burns. I didn't notice the order he wrote those in before. Like, we always say it Burns, then Fried, because he feels like the bigger ticket guy.
Fried first?
Such as pitchers Max Fried and Corbin Burns.
He's going reverse alphabetical.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know what his logic is there, but I don't normally see him written that way, which maybe tells you the Red Sox know they're not going to spend for Burns.
Yeah.
And they're going to take plan C, if you will. Along with outfielder Teoscar Hernandez, we've heard him linked to the Red Sox quite a bit going back to last offseason.
Such a bad look. They lowballed him last year. Now they're going to overpay.
Yeah,
after
yeah 100, completely.
That's another reason why I'm not in love with that.
It's like, oh, you wouldn't pay for him last year. Now you're going to pay even more for him this year while he's a year older. Makes no sense.
That's right.
But, per sources, one of the players the Red Sox might immediately be prioritizing, is Alex Bregman, who I like. Mm-hmm. Winning pedigree. Numbers tailed off a little bit last year in a contract year.
He's dipping.
But I like him, and I like that he'd probably play third base, which means Devers won't be playing third base. I don't have to watch Devers at third base.
That's good news.
So to me,
for Tanner Houck and the other ground ball pitchers,
there's a little bit more of a reason to bring a player like that in. So we'll check in with Bradfoe. He's live at the winter meetings. We'll get his thoughts, ear to the ground. Red Sox striking out on Soto. What's next for the Red Sox? Right after Trending with Billy Lanning. John Morosi on the MLB Network last night. Crochet trade could be days away. Really comes down to the Red Sox. Will they include Marcelo Meyer? Where do the Red Sox pivot to? We'll get to that coming up with Rob Bradford of WEEI, the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. We'll do that momentarily live from the winter meetings. Keith, you were just giving me a list of names.
So
according to BetAG,
yeah.
Free agents who are out there and who's most likely to land them. Give that to me again.
Yeah, they give you some odds. Corbin Burns, next team, if not the Orioles. We
mentioned
don't think it will be the Orioles.
Mentioned his name a bunch today, right?
They go Mets, Yankees, Giants, Dodgers, Red Sox.
Oh, so the Red Sox are on the list. But
they're on the list. Fifth.
Fifth out of five.
You could say they were interested.
Okay.
You could say that they were close. Now, the one guy they do
have. A plus for effort is what I'm being told.
The one guy I believe that they have is Max Fried. I think they're the favorite to sign Max Fried.
Nice.
How do you like that?
Okay.
I don't believe it, but let's see. Let's see.
Well, they offered around $700 million for Juan Soto. That didn't get them anything.
No.
At the end of the day. Free agency in full swing, winter meetings in full swing, and joining us from baseball's winter meetings is Rob Bradford of WEEI. What's up, Bradfoe?
Oh, what a glorious time of year. Let's go.
Yes.
There's nothing like being in an enormous hotel in Dallas where you have people dressed up as gingerbread men walking amongst the people in the baseball world. Yes, it is officially the winter meetings.
Okay.
That's nice.
Are people given the red? There was one report from your colleague, Chris Cotillo, Mass Live, that the Red Sox were getting an A-plus for their effort in the pursuit of Juan Soto. How's it playing in baseball, the Red Sox? Were they in? Were they really, truly in on Juan Soto? Because it doesn't feel that way from the outside looking in.
First of all, how is that a report? It's like you're getting an A-plus from somebody. I guess somebody would give him an A-plus. I would give him like a B-minus. Because you fell $65 million short. Listen, as I wrote today, how this worked. I think there's some things to take away from this pursuit of how this shook out that should be encouraging. Number one, back in August, Craig Breslow has this idea. Say, hey, let's take a stab at Juan Soto. It shows you that the ownership is on board with listening to Craig Breslow. It shows you that they're on board with being more aggressive. And let's make no mistake about it. They were on Juan Soto. They were in on this. This wasn't just driving the price up. This wasn't just doing a show. No, you commit to offering a guy $700 million. It is something. So there is that. There is getting back in that pool, which you haven't been in a long, long time. So there's that to still hang your hat on. But, you know, I think that overall, you have to, what they have to do, I give them a B-minus because you were a finalist, you put your best foot forward, you wanted Boris to give an offer that they're going to have to beat, and he wouldn't give them to because he knew he had the Mets and the Yankees sitting there, so he didn't have to be desperate. So, you know, they were trying to do what they could do, and at the end of the day, they weren't able to do it, fine. To me, that's not the issue here. to me, this isn't why you can't give them an A-plus for anything, because you have to now do what the most important thing is. You lost out on the guy that I put at 20%, and I think that was probably a pretty good number in terms of the odds of them getting him. But now you actually have to do what you haven't done in the last few years, which has been the absolute dagger for them, which is win bidding wars, get uncomfortable. Believe it or not, giving $700 million isn't as uncomfortable to them as it will be when they get the price tag on Max Fried or Alex Bregman or you know, whoever, or Teoscar Hernandez. Now we find out exactly what their approach is when it comes to being more aggressive, being more decisive, and actually changing the narrative, because you aren't getting any of these guys unless you change the approach that you've had for the last few years.
So if they're willing to spend $700 million over the course of 15 years on Juan Soto, how much should they invest in this team this offseason? Should there be $500 million worth of contracts, $600 million worth of contracts? Like, what do you think makes sense for them?
Well, it comes back to, you have to identify the guys that you think can help your team. And this isn't like, oh, well, we're going to carve off $500 million of the money that we're allocating for Juan Soto and give it to Max Fried because we can. No, I mean, no, that's not how it works. But at the same time, you know, I think that Andrew Friedman, the Dodgers, had a great, great line where he said something to the effect of, listen, if you set values in free agency and you just say that's what we're going to pay, you're always going to finish third. Doesn't that, like, this is the epitome of what the Red Sox have been, always finishing third because you've set values in these things. So now what you have to do is that you have to go in and you have to identify the guys that you want, and you're going to have to pay a lot more. You know, yes, some of it comes out of the Juan Soto fund, I guess, or whatever it is. But you're going to have to pay a lot more than you ever wanted to pay for the guy that you want to get. And to answer your question, yes, they should try to win this year. Yes, I mean, yes, Juan Soto was step one in this, but there is no reason why they shouldn't look at this team, especially now that the Yankees have been gutted, and they have been gutted. I mean, Soto was absolutely a must for them. There's no reason you shouldn't look at this Red Sox team. And if you get some key guys, which they are in position to, that they should be the favorites in this division. They could be.
Talking to Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, live from the winter meetings in Dallas. We've mentioned a few different times, Brad Foe, the names that you brought up as next targets for the Red Sox here in free agency. Fried and Burns, in that order, is how you wrote it. Teoscar Hernandez, and then you said the focus is immediately prioritizing, or might immediately be prioritizing, Alex Bregman. What's the buzz in Dallas about the Red Sox landing one of these big fish?
Yeah, so it's with the pitchers, you know, ultimately we've said this all along. It was priority 1A and 1B. You know, okay, Soto's priority 1A, but not too far behind it, maybe not even behind it at all, is getting that starting pitcher, getting that guy at the top of the rotation. But now what you have is that you have to compete with some of these other teams, including the Blue Jays, by the way, who lost out on Soto, who are in the same desperation that you are to get a Max Fried or get a Corbin Burns. And I do think that Max Fried is a more realistic thing than Corbin Burns. I think Corbin Burns wants to stay on the West Coast, and Max Fried, it makes some sense for them. But at the same time, you know, so you have to do that. And Crochet, I heard you guys mention Crochet. Well, if I'm a team and I have a Zach Gallen for Arizona, I absolutely say, hey, this isn't going to cost as much as Crochet. To Boston Red Sox, you need a starter. Here you go. Trade for him. So I think that there might be a starter out there that they have that we aren't talking about that they might trade for instead of maybe getting uncomfortable for one of these other guys. I'll come back to what I wrote, though, is that I do think what they are focused on is Alex Bregman. And I would not have said that 24 hours ago. I did not account for Alex Bregman in the way that maybe I should have accounted for and how much they prioritized, because right-handed hitter, obviously open to a move to second base, a championship pedigree. Yes, I understand about the championship he won in Houston, but still, the type of guy that they need in that clubhouse from a position player standpoint, it checks off a lot of boxes. His price is going to be, right now, it's uncomfortable because Boris is feeling good about himself. But still, I mean, to me, like, from what I hear, like, this is a very, very real thing when it comes to the Red Sox prioritizing this guy.
How do you feel about him as the player now? We were looking back at, 2018, 2019. You know, he was great. When he knew what pitch was coming, this guy could hit it out of the park. And since then, like, I think he's good. Don't get me wrong, he's good, but he's coming off a career low OPS. He seems to be like a 25 home run guy, which you'll take. But I don't know. And if he's not even playing third, where he just won a gold glove and move Devers off to some other spot, how good of a signing do you think Bregman would even be?
Well, again, it comes back to, well, if you do sign him, you're going to overpay him. And everyone's going to be like, you paid way too much money for him. And you look at last year, yeah, no question, the worst year. And I think that, you know, this is an excuse. This is just a reality that he was playing with bone chips and, you know, that might have factored in. But still, I think what you have with Alex Bregman is a guy that fits what they need all for all the reasons that I said before. Mm-hmm. And also is like, is he a great player anymore? Yeah. And do you want to sign a great player as a free agent? Yeah, you do. But let's look at Trevor Story. And I know that nobody wants to say, oh, Trevor Story is a good player, but when he's healthy, which has been never, you know, but still, when he's healthy, he's a good player.
I didn't want Story either. Like, when they got him, no, but, he is a big home, like, Coors Field, he was good. Not Coors Field, he wasn't. I don't know. They seem kind of similar. Like, 5 years ago, Bregman was much better. And at mid-20s, he looks like a stud.
That's what I'm getting at. Okay. Like, I think maybe I value Trevor Story, a healthy Trevor Story, a little bit more than you do. I think he's a pretty good player.
Definitely.
Who can remember? That's just the reality of the situation. But I think that, let's find some common ground here and say, okay, Trevor Story is pretty good. He's part of the, and I'll use it again, he's part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Bregman's the same way. And I do feel also, like, and this isn't like you're going to pay a ton of money for this, but I do feel what this team is lacking is that 30-something who position player who is going to, like, show these guys the right way, who is going to basically be, like, a much younger version of Justin Turner. And, you know, I think that that's how Cora, who obviously knows Bregman from Houston, that's how he views him. And I think that that's a priority, because when they lost out on Juan Soto, another thing they lost out on was the opportunity to have the guy, no questions about it, guy that you're building around for years upon years upon years. Now you have to find that guy. And until you find that guy, you have to get guys like Bregman in there, I think, or even Atas or Hernandez in there while you figure out which of these young guys actually can take up that mantle.
Yeah. Well, all of it makes you question how they feel about Devers long-term, because he might be moving positions, and certainly as a leader, Bregman would pick up some of that mantle. He's Rob Bradford. He's in Dallas for the owners' meetings here, winter meetings, rather, in Major League Baseball. Busy couple of days with Juan Soto's signing. Bradfo, we appreciate it. Any more news, you let us know.
Yeah, listen, I leave you with this, because this is one thing that I can't get over. This is going to be scratching right road you itch. Can you imagine what Mookie Betts would have made if he was in Juan Soto's same thing, 26 mm-hmm. years old, free agent, you know, that with all these teams bidding for him, and he ends up getting half of what Juan Soto. It's like, I would have taken, in that situation, Mookie Betts over him any time. Anyway, I just want to get that off my chest. So,
billion-dollar man, Mookie Betts.
Could have been.
Billion-dollar man. Five-tool player. Juan Soto doesn't have all the tools.
He's a one-tool player. I mean, listen, he's a good – yeah, so anyway.
Anyway.
But, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
okay,
Bradfo.
We enjoyed it. Thanks so much. $765 million for one tool.
You know what also – and this isn't the be-all, end-all.
It's a lot for a tool.
We talked about this at the time, and Bradford, I think, even said, like, this is a discussion they've had sort of in the front office. I don't want to misquote him, but it was to the effect of, you know, there used to be a lot of Mookie Betts jerseys, like, or T-shirts or whatever. So when you go to the ballpark, Betts and Bogarts, there were quite a few. And now when you go, it's a lot of the older players, right? You'll still see Ortiz.
Yeah.
You'll still see Manny. You'll see freaking Nomar still. Like, you'll see all older players. And it's like, you're looking for that next guy. Like, who's going to be in the pro shop that is just flying off the shelves? And while we're having this conversation, I'm thinking, as nice a player as you might think Bregman is, or as nice a pitcher as, like, Max Fried is, I don't think kids, or, like, our kids, or, like, our nephews and stuff, they're not going to be, like, be like, oh, I got to get that Max Fried
it's
jersey.
Not that. Like, no. I would like them to sign both of those guys, but
same.
It's
they're good
not
baseball
that.
Players, but they're not. They're nowhere near.
No, Devers should be
star
the guy.
Power. Yeah,
Devers should
well,
be that,
and he's not,
and he's clearly not.
No.
So, and the Red Sox signing Bregman would be a real acknowledgement of that. They have a leadership void, and they'd move him off his position.
Third base leader. Yeah, yeah. Right.
You know, like that's an acknowledgement that Devers isn't the guy. I think we already know it, but that would be the team acknowledging it.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. More of your feedback there here on Jones and Keefe. We mentioned earlier John Heyman got a little angry, upset.
Yeah, he had a tough weekend, I think.
Testy.
Yeah.
On WFAN. Let's get to that next.
All right, we talked about John Heyman earlier, Jones. John Heyman, noted baseball quote-unquote insider who has blocked me on Twitter. He's a very sensitive individual. I don't even remember what I said. It couldn't have been that nasty. I'm pretty nice on Twitter.
It must have been nicer than this host on WFAN.
So apparently he went on WFAN on Friday night, and Keith McPherson, who I'm unfamiliar with, so I don't know if he's like always the night host or if he just was that night. I honestly don't know the guy
at all. It looks like his Twitter bio, New York radio host, FAN 660 Nights.
Nights.
He's a blessed Yankee fan and a hashtag boy dad.
He's a boy dad.
Yeah. So it looks to me like he is the night host on FAN. All right. I could have that wrong.
So he's the night host. He's the only host in this clip, and it's John Heyman. And earlier in the interview, I think he had referenced the fact that, you know, last year John Heyman had Aaron Judge wrong, uh-huh. right? He had Arson Judge going to the Giants.
Yeah, so he had the name wrong in the wrong team.
It happens to everybody, right?
I don't know that does.
But he's a sensitive insider,
mm-hmm.
and he's sort of defending himself about what happened last year with Aaron Judge, and then things kind of progressed, and you be the judge.
Broken a lot of stories. I think the reason that got such play is because people believe everything I tweet. I've had 100,000 tweets.
Okay, I got to stop you right there. Who knows how many tweets they've had, let alone...
Oh, that's not an arbitrary number? Are you saying, did you...
I'm guessing he's mentioned that, or he knows that, or why would you even reference that? People believe everything I said.
Building his resume.
Yeah, but you also said Arson Judge was going to the Giants. So you can see how some of us might question some of your reporting. Not everybody, with the exception of Scoops Keefe, has a 100% track record.
No,
it
it's true.
They get
even some who had good track records and went up in smoke today.
Well, that's true.
So
you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, all that stuff.
But with John Heyman, I do.
So he's defending himself with that one, which, okay, whatever. You know, like, laugh it off. It's not a huge deal.
Yeah, I have hundreds of thousands of tweets, and people believe me because
people believe every word
I talk
I
to
say.
Scott Boras. I mean, because I have good intel.
I guess this guy was also digging him a little bit about like all the Scott Boras reports.
I kind of like this Keith McPherson guy.
I don't hate Keith McPherson at all. But, yeah, so Heyman's already a little bit, like, backed up into the corner here a little bit, it feels like.
Uh-huh.
People believe everything I tweet. I've had 100,000 tweets. And, you know, you get one that was wrong, and it did say appears. And I know I rushed in, and it was a big mistake, and I regret it. But it's 2 years later.
No regrets.
I think
it's like
at some point, I think someone could probably drop it if they're a nice person.
Okay, so now he's like... Now he's, like, circling back. He's defending himself a little bit, but he's also taking a shot at this guy for even mentioning it.
Okay, well, here's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't know their track record, but it sounds like this is maybe not the first time that tweet's been brought up to John Heyman.
Maybe.
Maybe they would drop it if you're a nice person.
Does he do nights on The Fan, though? Like, I wonder what the history is with this guy.
We're going to get to it, but it sounds like it's been a recurring interview.
They've talked.
For sure.
They've talked. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
2 years later,
no regrets. It's like
at some point, I think someone could probably drop it if they're a nice person.
What I think is it just like how I introduced you. Everybody in baseball knows who you are. So one, it's a credit to your work, your following.
Yeah,
and how,
by the way, I won't be going out with you again. The whole thing has been a disaster.
Is this guy being insincere? I feel like he is actually kind of complimenting him, but Heyman doesn't want to hear it right now.
It sounds like he was trying to joke around, maybe in past interviews.
You can't joke around with certain people. He's not a joker.
And no, he's not. And then I think he was being sincere in that last part.
I thought he was.
Yeah, yeah,
I thought he was like, hey, like, we have you on, and like, don't. He, to me, and maybe this guy is like super sarcastic and I'm not picking up on it, but he's like, don't even worry about that.
Yeah.
But I also think he's like, I'm going to call it out because he's doing a show in New York.
Uh-huh.
So the Yankees and the Mets are all in on Juan Soto. And the couple of years ago, the biggest free agent at the time was Aaron Judge. And they were all, obviously Yankee fans were going crazy about it. And then in comes John Heyman from the cloud saying arson judge to the Giants. I feel like I understand why it's being brought up a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's like, can you move on from it? And he kind of is. He doesn't feel like he's badgering him with it.
But he won't be coming back on because it's been
a disaster.
A disaster. Which
it's just like how I introduced you. Everybody in baseball knows who you are. So one, it's a credit to your work, your following.
Yeah,
and how,
by the way, I won't be going on with you again. The whole thing has been a disaster.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised we haven't heard that from like Gonzalez or something. I'm surprised we haven't had that from a guest yet.
Yeah, exactly. Like next time we have Hunter Henry on.
I won't be going on with you again. The whole thing has been a disaster.
Look, I didn't think it was that bad, Hunter, but thank you anyway.
Okay. All right.
So how about this? So now you're in this position, right? We've all done awkward interviews. In fact, we did two earlier today.
Yeah, we're usually good for a couple every Patriots Monday, yeah.
So now he's in the spot where I think he's like, what is this guy saying? There's also a phone interview. So if you can't see the person, it makes it trickier.
Are we joking?
We don't really
know. Are we being serious?
So then Keith McPherson, who I don't know, hits you with one of these.
That's okay.
I can't even believe you said that to question my integrity.
Are you being serious right now?
Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Are you being serious right now?
It's like arguing with my wife. Are we being serious? I can't even tell.
Like, now I've lost the thread. Yeah. I don't know where this started, how it's going, but
how
I
dare
know
you question
bad.
My integrity. Yeah, it's going poorly. Yeah.
I can't even believe you said that to question my integrity.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm being serious, yeah.
John.
Asking me if I'm getting a cut because I have a relationship with an agent. That's outrageous. I know you're not a journalist.
So, timeout.
So apparently, yeah, go ahead.
It sounds like he made a reference to getting a cut from Boris.
I think he made a reference, which we all understand.
We've made references to it. Like, I don't know that I credit to Keith McPherson. I don't know I'd do it right in the middle of the interview.
The only person
credit to him.
In the media today that is more tied to somebody is Mike Lombardi, Bill Belichick.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Everybody else, like, we all have our theories, like, oh, Schefter and Rappaport and whatever, down the list. But, like, Heyman talks to Boris. Mm-hmm. It's so obvious to anybody who's read an article.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Lombardi and Belichick. So I guess he's also made references to that. So I don't know. Maybe some, I don't know if people are going to take Heyman's side over that. I doubt it.
Maybe you should get
play
a
cut.
Maybe you should get a cut.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I mean,
he's doing a lot of Boris work for him. Boris about to make a ton. How much money is Boris going to make just off of Soto?
Well, I don't know. What does he make? 5%?
3%? I don't know.
What does a sport
like 3%
maybe?
I don't know. Whatever it is, even if it's half of a percent.
It's a lot of PS5s.
It's a ton of PS5s, this guy.
John.
Asking me if I'm getting a cut because I have a relationship with an agent. That's outrageous. I know you're not a journalist. You don't know anything about this. I know you get you don't. But that's an outrageous comment.
It's Friday night at 8:30, John.
You should know that much.
I'm not taking this serious.
Goodbye.
John, thank you for joining us.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
You went up an octave
that's
there.
That is the moment right there.
I can't even believe it.
Now, does he huck the phone? Does he hang up the phone, smash the phone? That might be the last time he uses that phone.
Yeah, good question.
So I feel like he hangs up, but that is an immediate, like, you wish you were on an old landline to prevent some of the damage.
Yeah,
you're
hucking
that phone.
David Ortiz clubhouse phone.
Yes.
Thank you, John. I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your time. He's got to get to bed. I did not expect it to go that way.
I was not prepared for it to go that way.
That was pretty much how I handled Amendola hanging up on me.
I can't even believe it.
Yeah, it definitely could have gone better.
Amendola just clicked. He didn't.
Can you believe it?
he didn't give any warning that he was hanging up. He just clicked.
That's what happened. I mean, I think when you're humorless, like that stuff like that's going to happen.
I can't even believe it.
The guy says, like, well, I mean, maybe you should.
That's okay.
I can't even believe you said that to question my integrity.
You said arson judge to the Giants. I feel like it's worth we can mention it.
Yeah. And you should get a cut from Boris.
You absolutely should. You deserve it.
Man. So he's done with FAN. He's not just done with that show. He's done with the station.
He's done with the fan.
Mm.
That's happened here before in the past. There's a few people that have stopped working with the station because of certain people along the way. You know what I think would get Heyman?
Not that rare.
You know what I think would make John Heyman feel a lot better?
What's that?
Cheeseburger Club.
Get him a Cheeseburger Club. I think he'd be fine.
Get yourself. That was Friday night.
That was Friday night.
By Saturday, you get yourself a nice.
He's back on his feet.
Yeah, nice
get himself
meal.
A Cheeseburger Club.
That'll make you feel better for sure. Okay. So a rough weekend for John Heyman.
He does sound, people are like, he sounds awful too. Like he does. He sounds like he has been up all night.
Yeah.
Just like tracking this Juan Soto stuff.
And he was, him and Passan were like neck and neck with the news last night with Soto, right? It was like within seconds of each other, they both had a tweet.
Yeah, I think so.
He's still got the relationship.
They can't even believe it. The whole thing has been a disaster.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
It's John Heyman, MLB insider there on WFAN. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. That's how you dial us up and text the program. Let's get back into the weekend that was in the NFL and all the latest on Bill Belichick to UNC. That continues to pick up steam. That's next.